So we've been discussing the Gemara on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, and the last thing that we discussed was the idea, a very interesting idea. The Gemara had a Havam, you know, that that Yad Adam, a person's hand, according to the way Rashi understood the Gemara, if a person's hand is extended into a different Rishus, the Gemara, according to Rashi, wanted to know whether or not his hand would be a continuation, or what I keep calling an embassy of his body. In other words, if he's standing in Rishus HaYachid and his hand is in Rishus HaRabim, or he's in Rishus HaRabim and his hand is in Rishus HaYachid, so his hand would be considered to be part of the Rishus where his body is. So for example, the let's say the Balabayas, who's inside the house, he's in Rishus HaYachid. He puts his hand outside, that would be considered Rishus HaYachid. It would be a Rishus HaYachid that is in Rishus HaRabim. Or the Ani from the outside puts his hand on the inside, he would be considered to be inserting a Rishus HaRabim inside Rishus HaYachid. And what's particularly fascinating, that's Rashi's interpretation. Rabbeinu Hananel disagrees. We're not sure exactly what he says, but the Ramban thought he understood what he said. The Ramban understood that it's the opposite. The Gemara was trying to say is that maybe the hand, which is connected to the body, should always be batel to the Rishus that it's in. And therefore, it should always be considered, if you're on the outside, you put your hand on the inside, your hand is Rishus HaYachid, even though you're standing in Rishus HaRabim. That's the opposite. Ramban taught the Gemara meant the opposite. The Ramban said the reason that it has to be the opposite, is Ramban talking, is because, is it conceivable that we would think, in the case of the Ani, right, the Ani is standing on the outside, his body's on the outside, puts his hand into Rishus HaYachid. So according to Rashi, what does that mean? The Gemara is weighing whether or not maybe his hand is considered to be Rishus HaRabim. Right? So the Ramban says very dramatically, is it possible to have a Rishus HaRabim inside Mechitzos? Right? Because there are Mechitzos in the Rishus HaYachid. So Stira Mineyubay can't have it. So that's why the Ramban says the Gemara couldn't even have had such a Havamina. Which raised the question, I hope we'll get a chance to speak about it more as we go forward, about the nature of Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim. Meaning, is it really true that you can't conceive of a Rishus HaRabim, a satellite of Rishus HaRabim inside Mechitzos?
Okay, I have Mokim B'Torah Rishus HaRabim.
What?
You can have Mokim B'Torah Rishus HaRabim.
Well, I mean, Mokim P'tur is not in Rishus HaRabim. We're talking about whether we can have Rishus HaRabim.
I can have Mokim B'Torah Rishus HaRabim. Can I have
the Mila Mala Mi'asara?
Yeah.
No, but that's because it's not Rishus HaRabim anymore, probably. Yeah. I mean, the whole idea really is that 10 tefachim off the ground in Rishus HaRab, hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about that also, but that's the idea. It's a glass ceiling. It's a different Rishus. You know, the Gemara says in Sukkah, and the Yerushalmi has it here in Shabbos, the Gemara says it in Sukkah by Tfanos of a Sukkah, that they have to be 10 tefachim. And the Gemara, the Yerushalmi says it in Shabbos in the first parak about Mechitzos, that also they have to be 10 tefachim. How do you know that? So the Gemara says you learn from the Aron and the Kaporas. The Aron and the Kaporas all together were 10 Tzvachim. So what does that have to do with the Devanos of the Sukkah and according to the Shalmi, the Mechitzas of Rishus HaYachid? So the way the Gemara formulates it in both cases, especially the Shalmi is even more explicit, it shows it's in a different Rishus. What's fascinating, if you really understand the Halacha well, there's a whole philosophy or structure of space. Right? There's the ground, there's Lavud, right, which has its own interesting issues. You know, we treat Lavud as being as if it's closed or in the karka, but what do we mean by that? Then there's ten tvachin, right? Rishus HaYachid is ola lamala ad larakia. That's what the Gemara says. So some Rishonim explain that's because some Rishonim say no, it looks like that, but it's for technical reasons. You don't see it with your glasses. Right, but halachic glasses would pick up that Rishus HaYachid, right, the mechitzas go up to the rakia. That's the rule of good asik mechitzta. So it's all in the box. Other Rishonim say it's not true. Good asik mechitzta is a halacha, but it doesn't go that doesn't take mechitzas that are 10 tefachim high and shoot them up to the ceiling. If maybe if there's something to reach to, but not the rakia, it's simply a din that Rishus HaYachid is different and it has airspace. So why does Rishus HaRabim only have 10 tefachim and Rishus HaYachid has Adler Rakia? So it's because good asik mechitzta, that makes sense. But if not, it's an interesting discrepancy, right? There's no Mokom Ketura on Taba versus Ayachin, only on Taba versus Arabin. But what I'm trying to show is that there's a lot of issues, okay, about the Rishuyos. What the Ramban says is fascinating because he's really saying, listen, can you have Rishus HaRabin inside of Rishus HaYachid? If I asked you that, you say, well, if it has the dinim of Rishus HaRabin, maybe you could. Obviously, Rashi's not scandalized. Rashi thinks, if you look at the Ramban, I mean the Rajba, in Avodas HaKodesh, Rajba wrote a sefer in the Arachayim, you know, what we call Arachayim, a lot of which is about Hilchos Shabbos. In addition to the Chiddush HaRajba and Shabbos, and the Tshuvos of the Rajba, he wrote the sefer called Avodas HaKodesh. And there he talks about, you know, maybe there can be a Rishus HaRabin inside the Mechitzas of Rishus HaYachid too. Right? So the Ramban, it's unheard. It's a Sphira Minei Beit. It's against the definition. That's the view of the Ramban. Obviously, Rashi thought not. Meaning, these issues are highlighting the nature of the Rishuyos. So let me take it a step further. Rashi says that the Pshat in the Gemara wants to know, as I said before, whether the hand is an extension of the body, and therefore it should have the hagdara of the rishus of the body, even though right now it's in the other person, it's in the other rishus. Your hand in rishus hayachid is rishus harabim. Your hand in rishus harabim is rishus hayachid, right? But it's fascinating if you look at the Gemara says Amar Abaye. This is where we were. No, I'm sorry. One line before. You know, Amar Abaye. Sorry. Very good. This is 3, 6, 9 lines down. Amar Abaye, pshitali, yada shaladam ein elokrishus harabim, elokrishus hayachid. Kishus harabim lo dami miyada da'ani, kishus hayachid lo dami miyada da'bal abayis. This is the issue that we're talking about. So Rashi says, as we discussed, that, pshitali mi mas nisan, the yada shaladam apshuta lirshus hakeres, my hand that's stretched out into another rishus, Inan is rekas achar gufa legamri, is not considered to be extended from the guf. Lios kishus shu omebo, to be the shus that it came from. Ben shu shus yachad ben shu shus harabim. And then we know it from the Mishnah. Fine. So it's fascinating to me. This is my diok. I don't know if anybody else mentions it or not. I'm guessing other people have picked up. If it's true, probably other people have picked up on it as well. Why does the Gemara have to say it the way that it does? Right? Yodah shalodah lo kishus hayachid, velo kishus harabim. If the rule simply is that, I mean, the question is a single question. Yodo baso gufo gereira, or not? When it comes to rishuyos, right, if there's a discrepancy between the rishus of the body and the rishus of the hand, so does the hand follow the body or not? That's the question. So why do you have to say, lokrishus ayachid, but lokrishus arabid?
Could be a difference. That's
what. Ah, exactly. So what I want to say is that exactly that point, meaning, when you think about the Rishuyos of Shabbos, the Gemara in Dabbav and Aleph, which hopefully we'll get to, Arba Rishuyos Hay. Right? There are four Rishuyos. Right? You mentioned Makom Ketur, Carmelis, right? And Rishuyos Yachim, Rishuyos Harab. So one way to look at the Rishuyos is that basically, in terms of the nature of the categories, they're the same. In other words, they're different. One is in public, one is in private, one is here, one. They have different dimensions or different criteria. Right, but once you get past the criteria, you know, we're talking about, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You know, it's however we define extension, let's say, or what I call embassies or spheres of influence. You know, in one rishus is what the name of the other, because there are four different rishuyos, right? So either a hand is considered to be an extension of the body, or it's there and it's batel to the rishus. But whatever you should say, you said uniformly across the board. You should say about Makom Ketur, you should say about Carmel, you should say about Sriyab. Later on, we have another Gemara in the next Daf. Just look at it for 1 second, you'll see what I mean. The Gemara Daf Dalin Omid Beis. Another really interesting Gemara. Gemara says, go 3 lines into the wide lines, or 5 lines up from the bottom of the page. Gemara says, Be'ila na'omed b'rshus hayachid, the nofo no teller shus harabim. Let's say you have a tree, which is in Rishus HaYachid, right? The, in other words, the, what do we call it?
The trunk.
The trunk, excellent. You're good, you say. Many things. But the trunk is in Rishus HaYachid, and the branch is extending into the Nofo Nota, Rishus HaRabin. Right? V'zorak v'nach, a Nofo. Rabbi Savar Minan Shadinofa Basari Karo, Rabbanan Savri Lo Minan Shadinofa Basari Karo. Very interesting question, right? Whether or not, you know, things that are on the branch are defined in terms of the trunk of the tree or not. And by the way, in the Gemara in Makos, the Gemara has the same discussion, but mostly in the opposite direction. There they seem to think that Ikaro, Basar, Nofo. Then the Gemara talks about Ir Miklat. But the guy, the Lord say,
he did not leave.
He has to get into the Ir Miklat to be saved, the refuge. Yeah. So let's say he's on the Nof, and the Ikar is inside the Ir Miklat, or vice versa. Or Maisa Sheni. Right, Achilas Maisa Sheni is only in Yerushalayim. Right? But you can be Poda Maisa Sheni only outside of Yerushalayim. So let's say the Ikar is in Yerushalayim, and the branch is outside, or vice versa. What is the status of Nof? What is the status of Ikar for Hoba? Are these the same sugyas or not the same? We're not going to get into it right now. You can see that it's a lot of fun. But basically, these are really interesting questions, right? Meaning, these are all extensions or sphere of influence type issues. Huh. So here the Gemara discusses a case where you have an Ikar in Rishus HaYachid, right? And a Nof in Rishus HaRabin, right? So you think that the Bali Tosas don't ask the question, how come we're talking about that case and not the opposite? Why not talk about a case where the Ikar is in Rishus HaRabin and the Nof is in Rishus HaYachid? Same issue. Shadi Nofa Basri Ikaru, yes. Shadi Nofa Basri Ikaru, no. Why does the Gemara have this case, Dafka? Right? They give different answers. But it's a parallel to what we're talking about right now. Meaning, when we deal with the Rishuyos of Shabbos, the Arba Rishuyos, this is an important question, are we, of course, what qualifies something as a Rishus, Rishus HaYachim, Rishus HaRabim, Makom Ptur, what qualifies it as a Rishus? Each one has its own rules, right? The Dalit and Yud and, you know, Makom HaShel HaRabim, you know, Rabim Bokimbo, all sorts of rules. But once you have the Rishus, right, when it comes to seemingly universal or objective questions like, you know, how do you define, you know, extensions and spheres of influence and so on and so forth, what's good for Makom Ptur is good for Carmelis is good for, right? And that is the view of many of the Rishonim. You'll see things like Kihechi de Kach. Just like this, so that the Tosas here discusses the question, what about the Ikar Brishus HaRabim and the Nofer Brishus HaYachid? It's the same thing, right? It's just reverse. However, it's possible that just like there are different criteria to define Brishus HaYachid, Brishus HaRabim, Makom Ptur, and Karmelis, right, some of these are Drabanan, but whatever. Just like, let's stick to Brishus HaRabim, Brishus HaYachid, which are clearly Daraisa for the moment. Well, Makom Ptur is Daraisa too, but just as there are different criteria, maybe we're dealing with different types of Rishuyos qualitatively as well. And there might be differences. For example, when it comes to Rishus HaRabim, maybe the prime focus is on its functionality, the use of this Rishus. When it comes to Rishus HaYachid, it's not so much about the function as it is about the structure. The fact that there are mechitzos, the fact that it's private. Not what you use it or how you use it, right? But the fact that it is cordoned off, that it's separate from, you know, from every man's land, or no man's land. Rishus HaRabim, it's not just the fact that it's every man's land, it's a makom shel tashmish harabim. And therefore, it's quite possible, I'll give you another example, makom ptur, right? Makom ptur is the big issue in discuss. Makom Ptur means kishmo kein hu. One of my talmidim in yeshiva the other day told me that he saw in some early sources it says it's makom potur. I said, what's the difference between called makom ptur or makom potur? Meaning, makom ptur is a place where it's either lamala mi'asara and rishus harabim, right, or it doesn't have a dalid al dalid. Right, and if you carry from Rishus HaYachid to Makom Ptur, or from Rishus HaRabim to Makom Ptur, you're Potter. Okay. So the question about Makom Ptur, is it really a Makom? Or is the idea that it doesn't have enough stature to be a Makom? And that's why it's Potter. It's not really, it's a non-Rishus. What characterizes it, what gives it its status, I was going to say what gives it a stature, but that would be wrong, right? Is the fact that it doesn't have stature. It's a non-rishus. There are certain dinim that require rishus. For example, can a Makom Keturah have an embassy? Right, to have an embassy, you need to be a country. Right? You need to be able to exert a measure of influence, and then you can exert influence beyond your boundaries. You know? But Makom Keturah may be a non-rishus. The Rimigash is a tshuva in which he basically says and explains so many things that a Makom Keturah isn't a rishus in which if you go from here to there and there to there, you're potur. That might be a Makom Potur. You know? But a Makom Keturah, right, means it's a non-rishus. So what I'm trying to say is, when the Gemara here, well, I wanted to say, Yado Shaladam extended from his guf, don't think that it's an embassy of his guf, and it's that rishus. Not in rishus hayachid, and not in rishus harabim. Because you might have been mechalik. You might say, the functionality of rishus harabim works one way, right? The structure focus of rishus hayachid works a different way. And that's, I think, the answer to the Shadi Nofo Basar Ikaro issue as well. Meaning, you have a branch, you have an Ikar in both places. But the level of exerted influence, right, from one to another also depends on, right, what kind of, you know, force it is. Right? Not everybody can have an embassy. Or you know, can radiating out of a certain force, you know, do you get that, you know, extended reach? Depends on the nature of it. So Shadi, whether it's Shadi Nofa Basar Ikaro or this issue, or I'll give you one other example. The Gemara has a discussion later on about Vavam Ravis about the Chorim. Chorim Rishus Harabim, Chorim Rishus Hayakid, Tzidei Rishus Hayakid, Tzidei Rishus Harabim, meaning little pockets or areas which don't have the dimensions of the Rishus but are connected to it. Right? You know, also extensions and exerted influence. So it might be that Kori Rishus Hayachid are Rishus Hayachid, but Kori Rishus Harabim are not Rishus Harabim. Maybe because when it comes to the functional aspect of Bikiyas Rabim, you just don't have it. And that's what counts. Whereas in Rishus Hayachid, it's a structure. Maybe the structure, you know, goes beyond itself. Yeah.
What does the Makom have to negate, you know, of any of the defined rishuyos? The absence of any of the defined.
What do you mean, Makom Hefker?
No, but what's the definition of? Is the Makom Hefker defined in terms of the absence of any of the.
You talking about Makom Keturah?
No, something is called. It's Makom Hefker, a midbar.
Oh, well, a midbar is usually a carmelist because it's not a rishus hayachid, clearly, and it doesn't have the kiyas harabim. So that's a carmelis. But a carmelis is a drabanan category, according pretty much, and it's really kind of a Makom Keturah, what we call a Makom Keturah. It doesn't have the dimensions of Rishus HaYachid, it doesn't have the functionality of Rishus HaRabim. For one of the reasons we call it a carmelis, we treat it midrabanan as a Rishus. Now, it's a kind of a hybrid Rishus. Even the phrase carmelis is meant to, you know, indicate that hybrid character. There's a lot of discussion, what do you mean it's a hybrid? It's both? It's you know, it's more one than the other. What is it? For example, in terms of the dimensions of it, right? It has to have dalet al dalet, a carmelis. I mean, it has to have a certain spatial, you know, minimum, but it doesn't have zechitzas. The Gemara says on daf Zion, it's mekule, you know, rishus hayrabin, mekule rishus hayachid. So does that mean it's somewhere in between? It's both. It's neither. You know, that's a question. But a midbar, a something like that, is a carmelis. That's what it is. Yeah, do you have a question? No?
Maybe you could explain it like you were talking about the Ramban. It's possible to have a conception of a
Rosh Hashanah inside Rosh Hashanah.
But it's possible to have a concept of Rosh Hashanah in quenching on the Rishus HaRabim, like Tzidei Rishus HaRabim and Chorei Rishus HaRabim.
Maybe.
So therefore, that's why the Gemara here only discusses when the ikur is in Rishu Sayachid and the
could be that's what, kind of what I'm getting at. I don't want to get deeply into this topic because then we won't be able to do what we're supposed to do today. But that's why I'm giving it as an example. I gave the example of Shadinofa Basari Karo is one kind of relationship. Chorim and Tzidei are another kind of relationship. Yad is another kind of relationship. There are other things also. Lemala Miasara, what we call Masa B'nei Kahas. Right? If you're carrying something normally, like you said before, more than 10 Tfachim in Rishus HaRabim is generally a Makom Ptur. But there are exceptions and we need to know how that works. That's called Masa B'nei Kahas. There are two Gemara. It's Mishnah and Gemara and Tzadi Beis Amid Aleph and Tzadi Zayin Amid Aleph. As well as the Gemara in Chesam and Beis, which talks about walking Rosh Hasharabim, you know, Filu B'Mokom Aliyah, even higher than Ten Tfach. So that too, is that, maybe if your feet are on the ground, is that about your feet being on the ground? Is it about, that's the way that you carry certain things and therefore it's connected to it? How does that work with the concept of Mokom Ptur and Rosh Hasharabim, Eina Ola, Lamala, Me'asar? Very fascinating questions, and there are more as well. Okay, let's continue. So the Gemara here on Gimel and Beis, after this little section, so then the Gemara tries something else. Boya Bay. Yod Shalada Maush and Teyasa Kakarmelis. We just finished saying that the Yad is not a Rishus HaRabim, it's not a Rishus HaYachid, meaning it's not either Batel inside its Rishus, inside the Rishus where it is according to Rabbeinu Hananel. It's not considered an extension of the Rishus where your body is. So now the Gemara thought that Midrabanan, maybe we made a Takana, that every yad that is disembodied, meaning not really, but you know, that is disentangled at the moment from its body, should be treated like a karmelis. After all, karmelis midrabanan is this, you know, no man, no man's land. It's not rishus hayachin, it's not rishus harabim. So maybe what you should say is that a yad that is in a different rishus will always be treated as a karmelis. Now, Bali Tosis point out, this doesn't mean to say that if you are in rishus hayachin and you put your hand in rishus harabim, nothing in your hand. That the Gemara thought that your hand would be a karmelis, and if you were to pick something up in Rosh Hasharabim, it would now be in a karmelis. Then that's not what they meant. What they meant was, if vis-a-vis coming from the Rishus in which your body is, if I take this pencil from Rosh Hashayachid where I now am, and I cross the plane, and I put my hand in Rosh Hasharabim, so now, since it came from Rosh Hashayachid, and it's in my hand, which is a kind of a neither here nor there, so now it's in a karmelis. If I pick it up here, we wouldn't say that it's in a karmelis. But having gone from Rishus Hayachid or another Rishus, or Rishus Harabim, either way, into another Rishus with something, that something should now be considered in the hand of a karmelis. That's the Gemara's suffix. Okay? That's what the Gemara wants to know. Look at the Rashi. Rashi explains it. Boya baya, hashtid chazinam de la basar gufa shodinam la le'ina nechiyuve midaraisa. Now that we see that we don't treat it in a mina Torah as an extension of the body, Alma iflu brishusa, we see the hand is considered to be independent of the body as a rishus. So maybe if that's true, mi achmar lo rabbanan lemehevet karmelis, should maybe we should treat it as a karmelis. Dehechad dahoshid yadam meleya l'rishus hakeres, if he put his hand out when it was already, you know, containing something, as he did in akira basically, lo yachsi renu etzlo, he wouldn't be able to bring it back into the rishus where it came from. Can you imagine that? Yes, we'll read the Gemara because we continue. Guy has to keep his hand. Hopefully, he did this right before, right before Motzei Shabbos.
Without a hanocha,
and without Rabbeinu Tam.
Without a hanocha, there would still be also
midrabanan. We're going to treat it as a kivin de la baser gufa greira, not just a rishus acheres midrabanan. It's a rishus acheres rabanan. The gazer rishus midibrayim. Right, l'shabbos, she'asa l'hachnas l'hotzim, yimenu l'shus yachim l'shus harabim, l'shmo karmelis, we call this karmelis, kidatani b'pirkin, dalad r'shuyis l'shabbos, karmelis l'shun ya'ro v'karmelo, she'eno lo hiluch tamid l'rabim, this is Rashi's meant for you, right? It's not hiluch tamid l'rabim, it's not a place where people frequent and use it, v'lo tashmish r'shus ha'yachid. Again, Rashi here happens to be emphasizing tashmish of rabim and yachid. I would have said, the ain lo mivneh rishus hayachid, frankly. Okay. Anyways, that's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, and this point about the distinction between what he picks up after he puts his hand in the rishus, or having brought it over, which Rashi refers to, but you don't see it as clearly in Rashi. You could see it in Tosis if you want. Tosis says here, one second. Maus tiasa karmelis, to second tosis, kegon shehu tziyado melea lechutz. He put his full hand, meaning a hand which contained an object, he put it outside. Ooh, lahadura. And the question is, can he bring it back? Aval, b'inyan acher, if it was that he put his hand over with nothing in it and just picked something up there, lo, that's not a problem. But tzadam b'perik ma'asher de'erevin, the Gemara says, ne'erevin, omed adam b'shus hayachin, a person can stand in b'shus hayachin, u'metalta b'shus harabim, shouldn't advertise this too much, but he's standing in b'shus hayachin, he puts his hand in b'shus harabim, he can pick things up, he can put them down, right? V'lohave, well, v'lohave karmelis, el'inyan b'shus sh'aguf sham sh'domi yosa l'shnei r'shuyos. Only if he brings it over from the Rishusim, which is bad, that looks like there's an interaction between Rishuyos. Otherwise, everybody understands that he puts his empty hand in Rishus HaRabim and he picks something up in Rishus HaRabim. That's not two Rishuyos, that's one Rishus. Right? Okay. That's the Gemara's question. So then the Gemara, this brings the Gemara into an interesting other discussion. So one second. Baya baya yad shalat amal shatasa karmelis. Mi kansura abana ladura gabe. Did the Chachamim penalize him that he cannot return his hand back? Hello, or maybe they didn't, right? Tashma, let's try to bring a raya. Yama Bryson says, "Hi, see it on the other Malaya Peros." So let's see, Lachutz. He had a hand filled of fruit, and he put his hand, he extended his hand outside. Tani Chada Asur Lachzira, the Tani Idach Mutalachzira. So one Tana says that he's not allowed to bring his hand back, that he has to hold on to it all over, all till the end of Shabbos. And the other one says he is allowed to bring his hand back. My love, b'hokamiflegi, isn't it likely that they're arguing exactly about this issue? Umar savar kekarbalis dami, umar savar lav kekarbalis dami. One holds that the hand, midrabanan, has the status of a karbalis, and therefore he can't bring it back into Rosh Hashayachid, or as the case may be, which is a rabbin, that's like carrying from a karmelis. The second that he takes the peros and puts his hand over the plane, even though he didn't put it down. So now the peros in his hand, his hand becomes a reshus that is different from where it started out, right? So it becomes a karmelis. So now the object is in a karmelis. For him to bring it back into reshus hayachid and put it down in reshus hayachid would be carrying from a karmelis to reshus hayachid. So the Gemara says, isn't that the argument? Mar sava ke karmelis, mar sava lav karmelis dami? So the Gemara says, the kula alma ke karmelis dami. Everybody agrees that it is like a karmelis. Velo kasha, kan lamata miyasara, kan lamala miyasara. The problem is, when he stuck out his hand from Rosh Hashayachid, right, into Rosh Hasharabim, was it above or below 10 tvachim? If it was below 10 tvachim, the Gemara is saying right now that it's a karmelis. It becomes now peros in a karmelis, and he can't put his hand back in. Right? If, on the other hand, he extends his hand to Rosh Hasharabim lemala miasara, right? That's makom ptur. If it's a makom ptur, then of course, even if his hand is considered to be a karmelis, right? So karmelis in a makom ptur, that isn't the problem.
Well, if you're going to consider it then like a karmelis, then why worry about retracting his hand to his shoes? How is he permitted to put his hand across the plane to begin with?
What do you mean? In which case?
Well, because he picks up the article of Rishus Hayachid, and now
he wasn't. He was not allowed to, but he did.
Huh?
He's not allowed to, but he did.
So they should be conceding. The
question is, can he now bring it back? He wasn't supposed to. You're not allowed to take a yad malea peros in midrabanan. Certainly not. That's an akira,
right?
So it's an akira b'li hanacha unless he puts it down. But an akira is also midrabanan. We discussed earlier in the year, well, maybe it should be chatzi shir. But let's assume it's hataraisa. But he does an akira into Rosh Hasharabim.
Right.
That's also midrabanan. He violated already midrabanan.
Yeah.
Now the question is, can he bring it back? It's very heavy.
Uh-huh.
Even if it's light, even if it's holding your hand there, it's not so simple, right?
Right.
So he wants to bring his hand back now.
Mm-hmm.
He did tshuva, whatever, it doesn't matter. He didn't do tshuva, it makes no difference. It's heavy. Do we penalize him and tell him, you know what, the second you cross the plane, the payers are now in a karmelis, you can't do an akira from a karmelis into and a hadacha, which is a yachid. You can't bring it back. That's the question.
So why is that considered a penalty?
Excellent. Excellent. Should we continue?
Wow.
No. No, you're So look at Tosas. You're Mechavin Tosas. Okay, Mikan Sura Banan Ladura. Tosas says, Nira Lari, the Garas Mi Asrua. Tosas says, you shouldn't say Mikan Sua. You have a good sensitivity to language. You should say Mi Asrua. It's not a Knas, because if you really think that this is a Karmelist, you treat this as a Karmelist, it just gets plugged into the regular din that you can't carry from a Karmelist to a Rosh HaSayachet. That's what you're asking, right? So that's what he says. Mi Asrua. Velo Garis Mi Kansua. Until the Kaman B'Samoch, later on, Ki Mukman Latka Karmelist Dami Amrinan Da Asr Latzira Mishum Knas. We'll see in a moment. That's a penalty. That's a punishment. This isn't a punishment. This is a future, preventing a future Isur Drabanan. Right? However, he says, the Shema Hodav Duk, the Karmelist Nami Abakanasa, and Afkamina Dasa B'Shogig Mi Bod Yom. He says, however, there's a way to explain this here, sir. And that is, we don't mean that it's a knas to bring it back in. Because once we say it's a Karmelis, that's just the regular din that you're not allowed to carry from a Karmelis through Shasayachin. What we meant was, did we impose a knas on this person to make it a Karmelis? Because his hand isn't really a Karmelis, right? So the Mikansua isn't Mikansua lahakzira, it's Mikansua lasosa. Karmelis. Well, your question is very good. That's exactly Tosas' issue. Okay. Anyways, Vibay Seima, Idi Lamata Miasara. Everybody agrees that we're talking about a case of, remember what happened here. There's a machlokas, whether or not, if a guy put his hand out from Rosh HaSayachid into Rosh HaSarabim, very halach lemaisa, right? Is he allowed to bring it back or not? Pretty, can happen all the time. So, if we're talking about both agrees, the machlokas. And the machlokas is in the same case. So it's really a machlokas. Under 10. Meaning it's sanabakam ptur. It's a karmelis in Rosh HaSarabim going back to Rosh HaSayachit. So the Gemara says, the lavka karmelis dami. And not only that, but everybody agrees that it's not a yado shaladam, even shepashat, you know, malaya, Rosh HaSacheres, is not a karmelis. So what's the issue? Hello, Kasha. Kan mi bod yom. Kan mi shechashecha. The issue is, when did he do it? He put his hand into the other rishus when it was still Erev Shabbos. He didn't do anything wrong. Right? But if he put his hand out, mi shechashecha, then there's an issue. But his hand is not a karmelis. That's where we get to the knas. You know, Hanami, his hand's not a Karmelis, but he's not allowed to put his hand, he's not allowed to do an Akira, this is the Drabanan, right? The Drabanan, you're not allowed to do an Akira, even if you're not going to do a Hanach. So we're punishing him for doing that Akira intentionally, right, by not letting him come back until Shabbos is over. That's the question. But if he did a Mibo Yom, no problem, right? So Mishachat Mibo Yom, Lo kansu rabbanan, mishachashecha kansu rabbanan. So then the Gemara says, this is a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, adaraba, ipcha mistabra. First of all, the Gemara says, adaraba, ipcha mistabra. Right? How many times does the Gemara actually say that? I mean, everybody knows that expression. But adaraba, ipcha mistabra. But it's exactly the opposite. Or as they say, what do they say in Yiddish? Pumfakert, right. So one of the few things I know in Yiddish. So, mi bod yom. Di shadi leilo asi ledechi of katas, right? The kansu rabbanan. Mishachashecha, di shadi le asi ledechi of katas, lo le kansu rabbanan. There's a logic. If you're looking at it in terms of penalizing him, then what the Gemara said originally makes a lot of sense. He did an akira b'isur, right? And we, you know, in order to discourage, we don't penalize him. It's not an act of retribution. Right? It's not a punishment. The penalizing him is a kind of a deterrent for the future. No. That if you do the Sakira, right, we're not even going to let you bring your hand back. Right? So, from the perspective of Knas, it only makes sense if he put his hand, if he did something wrong. He did something wrong, and in order to discourage him from doing something wrong again, we're going to penalize him. Right? However, the other side of the coin is, listen, if he put his hand up, he did nothing wrong. But it's also, you know, if you don't want people, you know, traversing the Rishus with things in their hand, there's no downside, except for, you know, Tircha, there's no chashash that he's going to violate a Doraisa in that case. Because he did the Akira Mibodyom, Erev Shabbos. The worst that can happen is his hand gets tired, he doesn't listen to the Chachamim, or he can't listen to the Chachamim, and then what happens? He's over the Yisudra Banan of Hanacha. But there's no Chatos, there's no Doraisa. But if when the guy puts his hand out on Shabbos, you tell him he can't put it down, you can't bring it back, he might get tired, and he might drop it, and he's going to violate a Doraisa. So we're going to impose a Drabanan on him to discourage him from future Drabanan violations, and it's going to risk him doing a Doraisa? That's an interesting philosophy of law question. Right? So, when does he deserve, you know, penalizing? Only when things can get worse. So are we more concerned about the justification of the penalty? Or, right, the possibility that things will get worse. There'll be maybe the day Doraisa. You don't want to impose a Drabanan on someone and bring him to a Doraisa. So the Gemara says, Amidilok from Shanin and Achi. Since the Gemara didn't say this, I mean, they didn't take the philosophy of law, let's do what we can do to limit, you know, the you know, Doraisa damage. You know, rather they took the, you know, let's be strong and impose deterrence even to avoid Drabanans, even at the risk of a Doraisa philosophy of law. So from there, we should be able to tiff, that's why I'm formulating it this way, tiff shodra bibi barabaya. Who's Rabibi barabaya? The boy, Rabibi Barabaya, Hidbik Pas Betanur, a famous Hidbik Pas Betanur. He put, dough in the oven, or bread in the oven, to bake. Right? So the question is, now it takes a while to bake. We'll talk about this probably next week more. Right? Baking doesn't take place like that. So, Hitira Loler Dosa, Kodim Shiava Ledechi of Chatas, Oloetiru. If somebody put something in the oven to bake, and it's going to take a while till it bakes, it'll take an hour till it bakes, an hour and a half till it bakes, is he allowed to scrape it up to remove it before it bakes? The point is, he shouldn't have put this on the oven in Shabbos. On the oven in Shabbos. He's not allowed to. Right? Let's say. Or, if he is allowed to, there's a problem, we're going to discuss the details in a minute, redia sapas. Right, so scraping up the pas in the oven and removing it is a problem on Shabbos. What kind of problem we'll see in a moment. The question is that problem of greater concern than the possibility that if we don't let him do this little problem, what's going to happen? It's going to violate the rights of one of the 39 Ovos Malacha of Afiyah, right? So the Gemara says, if the philosophy of law in the case of, you know, Yodo Malaya, if we say that if it's Mibodyom, it's fine, but if it's on Shabbos, even though it could lead to a Doraisa, we're going to be Machmir, if that's the way we're going, so maybe we can be Poshet, Rabbi Barbai's question, can you violate Radia Sapas, Rabbanan, in order to save yourself from Afia Doraisa? So the Gemara says, Tifsho Delotiru. We should come to the conclusion based on the Gemara here that it's more important, right, to, you know, focus on the Drabanan at hand than the potential Doraisa down the road. Now this is of course a little bit of a different case, as Rashi points out in the next line, and that is it's both better and worse. He did nothing wrong really to begin with. At the moment that he did something, he's going to need Radia Sapas now, but putting the thing in the oven per se, let's say, is not an Issa Drabanan, unlike stretching your hand and doing an Akira from Rosh Hashanah and Shus HaRabin. In that sense, Hidbik Pas Betanur is in terms of the immediate focus, is less of a problem. On the other hand, in the case of Hidbik Pas Betanur, if he doesn't do something, then certainly what's going to happen by default? Malacha Safiyah. In the case of Pashat Yado, Rosh Hashanah, we don't know for sure that he's going to drop it. We're just worried that he'll get exhausted, fatigue will set in, and maybe he'll drop. He'll get annoyed, or he just won't be able to do it. So the certainty, right, that there will be a doraisa is greater in hidbik paspatanur, but the initial drabanan violation is greater in pashat yado.
Why is that a certainty?
Which one?
That'll come to Anisa the Yeraisa.
Afia.
Yeah.
Because it's going to bake. If you can't take it out off the oven, in an hour and a half, it's baking.
That's certain.
Yeah. If he doesn't take it out, in other words, it'll bake. So look at, you'll see Rashi in a second. Here. Rashi says, we'll read the next one. So the Gemara says, Hello, Kasha. The tip show, what are you asking me questions? Right? What do we say? We have an interesting question of an interesting legal question. Right? Are we worried about the present Rabbanan or the potential that it could lead you to worse? So we said, it can't be that we're worried about the immediate Rabbanan because that we should be poshet Bibi Barabaya's question. So the Gemara says, I don't see why that's a question. Mark, go ahead. Vakasha. Be poshet Bibi Barabaya's question. It's the same issue in the Nachanami. That's the first answer of the Gemara. Then the Gemara says, "Ibai Seima, the Olam Lo Titsha." Right? These are two different cases. The Lokasha, Kan B'Shogeg, Kan B'Nezid. The instead of saying what you said before, right, that the Machlokas is Lamata Miasara, and so on, or Mibodyo, as opposed to Mibodyo, etc. Maybe we're dealing with two different issues: one B'Shogeg and one B'Nezid. B'shogeg, if a person puts his hand out B'shogeg, right, with the Yad Malaya Peros, even though he did an Akira, which is a violation of the Rabbanan, but he did a B'shogeg, Lo Kansu Rabbanan. Then the Rabbanan say, listen, he did a B'shogeg and we don't want him to get into a worse situation. He might drop it, it'll be Daraisa. He can bring his hand back. The Nezid, if he flouted the authority of the Rabbanan intentionally, then Kansua Rabbanan. Then they said, listen, it's true, you might come to worse, you might come to the right, so your problem, you created the situation, you have to deal with it. Iboy Seima, Idi B'Shogeg. Right? Or, both cases are B'Shogeg. B'Hocha B'Kon T'Shogeg, Atu Mezid, Pamithligi. The Machlokas is, when you have a Knas and a Mezid, right, do we extend that to a Shogeg as well? That we're so intent I'm putting a stop to this action and violation. Sometimes I have to take very strong measures. So these measures include also, right, obliterating the distinction between shogeg and this. Sometimes we're kones, shogeg atume. Again, what's the philosophy of law there? If something is a particularly pernicious or egregious, kind of a thing, so you have to take extraordinary steps to eradicate it. Including low plug, Xeros, like Shogeg Atu Mezid. That's what the Gemara is discussing. Mar Savar Kansu Shogeg Atu Mezid. Mar Savar Lo Kansu Shogeg Atu Mezid. Okay. In the context of all this, Rashi explains B'Shogeg Lo Kansua Rabbanan. What about Rabibi Bar Abaya? Once we said that we can't be poshet necessarily Rabibi Bar Abaya, we kind of dropped and lost momentary interest. Don't worry, we're going to get back to it. About Bibi Bar Abaya. What about this question of the guy put the bread in the oven? It's going to bake if he leaves it there. It's going to bake on Shabbos. And the question is, can he do Radiyas HaPas in order to save himself? Now that we're saying that we make a Gzeira B'Mezid and not B'Shogeg, is that true by Bibi Bar Abaya too? As if he put it in the oven knowing full well that he has to do Radiyas HaPas, then we won't save him. We won't allow him to save himself. And if it was just a shogeg, he forgot, he didn't realize, etc. Right then is that what's going on? So Rashi says, "Udravibi lo tipshof mehacha." You can't know anything about Rabibi here. Why? Lo leisur v'lo leheter, not in either direction. And it's the exact reasons or factors I mentioned before. The haide lo kansu b'shogeg la mishim chashasha d'dil v'shani le miyadehu. The reason that there's no knas b'shogeg. We're worried not that he's going to throw it down and do a hanacha, but the fact that he next time won't do a benezin. The chazar tziado ena afilu shvus ilo mishum knasa. But otherwise, bringing his hand back, right, that's not a hanacha because that's where it came from. It's nothing. In other words, the action in the case of Pashat Yado, the second action, the one that we're concerned about now, is he's not a karmelis, because we're saying Yado Shalom made up a karmelis. It's just a question of knas, but intrinsically, even midrabanan, there's no problem. V'hacha, lo kanis. Avardiyas apas, shvusu, v'nigzor b'minyan. U'mishim korim shiavu l'dechiv chatas, lo batru, g'zeirasam. But in that sense, Radiyas apas is worse. Because Radiyas apas, the action that we're contemplating to save him from the Noraisa is certainly Asur, according to Rashi, Midrabanan. Notice Rashi here says it's a Shvus. We'll see in a moment whether it really is a Shvus according to Al Rishonim or not. Rashi says it's a Shvus. On the other hand, what about in the other direction? He said Rabibi Barbai is different in both directions. So Rabibi Barbai is different in that the Radiyas apas is certainly Asur, is a Shvus, and the Chazara, right, Toch, Rishus HaYachid, if Yair Adar Shalom is not a Karmelis, is not Asur. Okay? What about the other direction? Well, the Isunami Lotif showed, Midakon to the Mezid, the Hasam, Lekan the Mecha Shtum, Lishu Dinu, Shishchai, Misas Bezid. We're worried in the case where the guy put his hand over the plane, that even though he did it the Mezid, that we shouldn't be Kones, because maybe it'll get worse. Right? He'll drop it, and so on. But on the other hand, maybe he won't. Right? He might and he might not. But if we say, you know what, you're not allowed to remove the bread from the oven, it's going to bake. Where the timing is going to establish that it's going to bake. So basically, what emerges is that Rabibi Barabaya is a question that has its own dynamic, parallel issues, but not exactly the same, so we can't be poshut. That's the other view of the Gemara, and that's how Rashi explains it. Going back to our case, Iboy Seimel Yolam Lo Kansu, maybe there is no Kanas, but Lo Kasha. Kan Lo Osa Chatzer, Kan Lo Chatzer Acheres. Kidaboy Minei Rabba Rather Mirav Nachman, Hoysa Yonam Alea Peres Votzia Lechutz, Mau Lachzir Lo Osa Chatzer. Amalei Mutter, Lechatzer Acheres Mau, Amalei Osur. Now the Gemara says a different thing. The machlokas, whether or not, if you put your hand into the other rishus, malaya, whether or not you can return it or not, is not really machlokas at all. It's two different cases. One case is to return it back to where it came from, so you haven't accomplished anything. That's mutter. But to take it from here, let's say it's rishus harabim, and put it in another chatzer, it came from this chatzer. Let's say this is a line. This is a different person's chatzer, a different rishus hayachid. So I went here, I put it in Rishus HaRabim, now I can either bring it back here or I can put it over there. So to bring it back here where nothing was accomplished, that's mutter. It's not also per se, because it's not hanacha, it's just putting it back where it came from. And we're not, no knas, etc. But to put it over here, which means I've accomplished something in this goal, even though it's another Rishus HaYachid. So there's no Daraisa. There's no Yisra Hanacha. But since, as the Gemara says, it's avda machshavto, so that's kind of rewarding him for his bad behavior, that we don't allow. Here's an interesting Rashi here. Rashi says, what's this avda machshavto? It isn't really this avda machshavto, because he originally wanted to put it in Rishus HaRabim. In the end, he's putting it not back, he's not retracting it into his own Rishus HaYachar, from whence it came, but he's also not putting it in Rishus HaRabim where he wants it. It's interesting Rashi. So Rashi says, because in the sense that he wanted to eradicate it from his own place, that's considered the Savda Makshavta. Wow. That's interesting, because we discussed earlier, right? What is Akira, what is Hanacha? Is it about a new destination, or is it about eradicating it from where it is now? This Rashi is a good formulation on a Drabana level, albeit, of Akira as, you know, siluk, not akira, and hanacha as, you know, nesina, you know, lemakom acher. Okay, that's the shakam tari de gemar. So now I want to spend a couple of minutes discussing Rediyas Apas, and then we'll move on to the next Gemara here, Dalet Amud Aleph, which is a Bibi Barbaya in detail. I mean, this question, what is the Psak in Rediyas Apas, the Makom Chashash, or Makom Chashash, the Makom Vadai Afiyah? Okay.
What,
but first I want to discuss the Rediyas Apas part.
What does mean when you said Benigzra Beminyan?
What's sorry?
What's it mean, Benigzra Beminyan?
It's a real, oh, it's interesting, we'll get that in a second, but meaning it's a real Gzera. There were Gozer Rediyas Apas. So that's what I want to discuss for a minute. Not so much that part, that particular part of it, but the Rediyas Apas. Basically, we have the following situation, right? The guy puts something in the oven. He leaves it there. It's going to be an Issa D'Oraisa, but it hasn't yet reached the point of Afia, right? And the question is he allowed to save the situation by doing a lesser offense? What is that lesser offense? Rediyas Apas. Scraping the... whatever, the batter, the dough, whatever it's called, scraping it off the oven. That's called Rediyas Apas. Oh. So the truth is, when you read this Gemara, it's a little shocking. Right? And there's a Musar Haskel, you know, in all of this, as in the previous Gemara. Meaning, you know, if we didn't know these Gemaras, we would think it's a Dabar Pashut. I mean, you're going to violate Fiyah or Bishol Daraisa. Of course you can do Rediyas Apas. You do the lesser offense, right? As I say, it's a bit of a Musar Haskel. You know, people today, they say, oh, it's what is it, Daraisa or Drabanan, you know? You know, it's Drabanan. No, so if there's counter pressure, or it's a question of Safek, or, I mean, we are Makel and Drabanans, and this you're supposed to be Makel and Drabanans in certain things. Right. But people sometimes have this tendency, oh, it's only Drabanan. Not because it's counter pressure. Right. Here you have these aren't the only Gemaras, you know. You know, Hemidu Chachamim Divrayim. Sometimes Afilu B'Makom Kares. The Chachamim took the halacha very seriously. You know, its values, its details, the Rabbanan, the Daraisa. You have to know what's Rabbanan. You have to know what's Daraisa. You have to know when to be Makel and when to be Machmir. But all things being equal, we take everything very, very seriously, right? And we should. Also, Kadosh Baruch Hu the Zakas is Yisrael. Lefika Chevelon Toru Mitzvos. Right, so we really want to embrace every detail of the halacha. So the point is that what you're going to, there's really a possibility that we're going to tie this person's hand and so later on we'll discuss that in more detail. Would he violate if the way he violates is because the chachamim won't let him fix it? Maybe that should be considered onus, right? That's actually the view of the Bali Tosis on Dalet Amud Aleph. But that's also inspiring, because then what's the whole issue? We won't let him remove it from the oven because of the Din Drabanan, even though he wants to, right? So there are two possibilities. Either he violates, even though we don't let him. Then it's inspiring that he listens, right? Because his onesh is much less severe for the Drabanan. If he asks you, what's the right thing to do? You know, if that's the psak, that's the psak. If you ask him on an onesh level, you know, if he's, you know, self-interested, he'll say, I don't care, I'd rather violate a drabanan than daraisa. Right. But assuming that he's, a rabbona shel olam and rabbinic fearing a Jew, and his question is, well, what am I supposed to do now? According to some rishonim, the answer is, you're supposed to violate the daraisa because you're not allowed to violate the drabanan. That's amazing. The other way to look at it, we'll discuss this part more next week, is the way Bali Tosa say is the Rabbanan will let you get out of there, they won't let you prevent this daraisa, so you don't get the punishment for this daraisa, right? Because it's an onus. So what's the Gemara's whole problem then? What's you can have the best of both worlds. We don't get the onus of the daraisa, so why should you violate the Rabbanan? But there's something inspirational about that too. Meaning, what, just because you don't get the onesh means that it's not terrible to be involved in Chilul Shabbos? Even though you have a pteranus on the onesh. But you still did on your, you're going to have to go to sleep at night knowing on your conscience, right, that you did one of the 30 Yom Bechal Shabbos, you did one of the 39 Ofas Malacha, maybe not in a way that you're nenash, right? The whole sugya about that. So anyway, it's an interesting issue, and there are things to derive from it. But either way, let's get back to the main point. The question is, what's going on here even? But most people, if you had told them, even people who are very strict about drabanan, right? You tell them, oh, Rediyas HaPas, or, you know, Melachas Ofeh. What's the question? Not only because it's Rabbanan. What kind of Rabbanan is this? This Rediyas HaPas. So we know there's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and later on here on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, which we have here in the sheets, or we have it in the Gemara, where the Gemara has a very famous, you can look at it for a minute, either you can turn the page or you can, whoever, again, I apologize about the sheets, it's really my negligence, it's been crazy, crazy busy, and I keep forgetting to send it, but we'll get there. Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Right, or I have it printed here as well. If you anybody wants it, doesn't want to turn or what is it? Middle of page two. Okay. Yeah, Talmud Bavli Kufyud Zayin Amud Beis. But if you look in the Gemara itself, it's towards the bottom of the page. Tana Rabbanan, it's the last of the small lines. Tana Rabbanan Shachach Pas B'Tanur. Right, you forgot. Bread in the oven. The Kiddush Olav Hayom. And it's, that's what happened here. Erev Shabbos, you put the bread in the oven. And you forgot to take it out. The Kiddush Olav Hayom. And now, it's nightfall. Right? So the halach is Matzilin Mazon Gimel Seudos. That food is going to be gone. You know, you won't be able to have access to it. So matzilin, you can take out three sudos worth.
What was the issue again? What?
Rediyas HaPas. We'll see in a sec.
No. But what's the three sudos?
For Shabbos.
He put it in before. And what's going to happen if he doesn't take it? It's going to burn?
Yeah. Yeah. So the Gemara says, V'omer l'acherim, bo v'atzilu l'chem. You can also tell other people, you know, they can take some sudos as well. This is all part of the perek. You know, Matzila Muslim Gimel Seudos from a fire. Okay. So then the Gemara says, Ukeshu Rode. What's the problem here? How's he going to get it out of the oven? So he has to scrape it out. Lo Yirda Bemirda. He shouldn't use a regular scraping, the normal instrument. Ela Besakin. He should use a knife. Shinui. So the Gemara says, that's what the Gemara says. So you're allowed to do this act of Hatzalah with Rediyas HaPas, but you shouldn't do it the normal way. So the Gemara says, Amy, why? Everybody knows this Gemara, right? Both Rediyas HaPas and Tkiyas Shofar are not malachos. They're chachmos, right? They're an art, not a labor. So, if that's the case, why does he need to use a sakin? It's not a real violation. So the Gemara says, "Kamadef shelishnei b'shaninan." If he's able to do it b'derech shinui, he should. Very interesting Gemara. So when you think about it, what's going on here? Is this usur or is it mutter?
Why should it be?
Or something in between?
Why should it be limited to 12 sudos?
Yeah, why is it limited to Gimel sudos? That sounds like it's Asur. Right? But if it was really Asur, so what does the Gemara mean when it says the Chachma V'Eina Malacha? But if it's Mutter, what do you need to be Mishana for? So they're mixed signals. Very mixed signals. Ah. So if you look at the Bali Tosis here on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, we also have it in the sheets. So they address this question. The second one. Since Minat Torah it's mutter, afagav the midrabana nasira kedam Rosh Hashanah, hein ma'akrin satinokos milit koa, right, the practicing shofar on Shabbos, in order to stop the children, the babies, hanashim, but if women want to do it, practice the tkiyah shofar, ma'akvin, right, because they're adults. So again, what's the problem? What's wrong with doing tkiyah shofar on Shabbos? It's a chachma, the ain't a malacha. Where does the Gemara say that it's chachma v'ain a malacha? In Rosh Hashanah and Daf Chav Tes. What happened? The Mishnah there says that Rosh Hashanah, right? Shachal lios b'Shabbos, right? You don't blow shofar. So the Gemara originally thought that this Gemara says, oh, there are two psukim. you know, Yom Tshuva Yelachem and Zichron Tshuva. So Yom Tshuva Yelachem is regular Tkiya Shofar, and Zichron Tshuva is Kol Yos B'Shabbat. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? That would make sense if Tkiya Shofar was also Minat Torah. But Tanit Debrei Rav Shmuel, Rudiyah Sapas, and Tkiya Shofar, that's a Chachma, V'yena Malacha. Then the Gemara says, oh, no, no, the problem is Chayshinon, Shemi Avi Reno, Dawud Amos, Rishus Aram. Okay. So basically, this is the Gemara about Shofar. Well, what does that mean, Chachma, V'yena Malacha? If you look at the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the impression you get is what? It's Mutter. Right? The Gemara here, on the other hand, is, if, what's that?
Shemi Tekin Klishir, no?
No, no, that's the Achronim's question. The Achronim asked that question. Why do you need Shemi Amrinu David Alam Shus Arabim? You know, why not say Shemi Tekin Klishir? Okay, so no, that's not for now. But the point is that from that Gemara alone, you might think it's Mutter. From this Gemara, it doesn't seem like it's Mutter, because, as you say, Gimel Sudos and Shinui, but on the other hand, it doesn't really seem to fully answer. So Tosa says, no, it's not the Raisa. It's only Rabbanan. Okay. And that's what Tosa says in Rosh Hashanah as well. If you look on the sheets here for a moment, look at Tosa in Rosh Hashanah. Tosa says, Tosa Rosh Hashanah Chavtesim Days, Rudiyah Sapas. So here, we have something very fascinating. Tosa quotes Rabbeinu Chananel. And you'll see in a moment that the Rabbeinu Chananel that they quote is a little different than the Rabbeinu Chananel that we have on our page here in Shabbos. We'll get to in a second. So, Rediyah Tapas, Pirish Rabbeinu Chananel. No, the first answer is okay. Rediyah Dehachal Akhar Afiyah Vashari Lechatkil. Rabbeinu Chananel came up with the following idea. He said there are two different sugyas about Rediyah Tapas. There are two different Rediyah Tapas, or two different stages. Okay? The Rediyah Tapas, he says, here, is la'achar afiyah, the shari, meaning the dough or the batter or whatever it is has been sufficiently baked that scraping it off is not much of anything.
How could it be for three sudas if it wasn't for anything? It had to be that way.
But it's because edible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. That's exactly somebody showed him actually say that the shari l'chatchila, and it's mutar l'gamri. Wow. Our Gemara in Shabbos, because our Gemara in Shabbos is considering the possibility that he's going to violate a fee of the Shabbos because he should just say he shouldn't do it. Rediyah Tapas, right? Rediyah the Reish Sechat Shabbos, the Tiru Levad is coming from the idea of fee. This is Skila Olo Tiru. We're not sure. The Mashma the Asa Midrabanan. That's the Roda Tapas, but Oche Isa. It's still in a doughy state. Shu Kain Losh. It's similar to, it's on the border of Melechas Losh, kneading. Shemerachacho kisharoda biyado, when he pulls it out with the thing, he softens it, and it's similar to Losh. So what does Rebbeinu Chananel say? Basically, there are two sugyas of Rediyah Tapas. One in Shabbos. Notice the Gemara here does not say anything about Chachma Vena Malacha, and doesn't bring in Tkiya Shofar. Right? This is the more severe in Shabbos, the Rediyah Tapas, the one where it's Ba'odo Isa, and according to this version of Rebbeinu Chananel, it's Ke'ein Lisha, but it's only Drabana. The Rediyah Tapas on Kuf Yud Zayin Omid Beis, and in Rosh Hashanah, that is compared to Tkiya Shofar, that's Mutar L'Gamri. Then you have to explain why only Gimel Sudo, so why do you need a Shinui? So we'll try to explain that. Then Tosa says, "Ubechinum dachak." He didn't need to go this far. The haks the hak and nami lo shari alim bedaraisa. The Gemara only in Rosh Hashanah only means to say that it's not based on it. You don't need a pasuk to teach you that you can blow shofar on that you don't blow shofar on Shabbos, right? Because the Isur Malach of shofar is not minat Torah. But it could be Drabanan. Right? As long as it's not Minat Torah, the Gemara makes sense. Kinebuchim parakokis, they got imatzel pas minatanur. You want to save the, you know, sudos. Shematzel mazel gimel sudos. The kamar kishurod the layer, the mirda elibasakin. Meaning, this you need a shinui. So So instead of saying Rabbeinu Chananel says the Gemara in Shabbos is Rabbanan, the other Gemaras are Mutter. No, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and the Gemara in Shabbos, Kufi Zayin and Beis are also Rabbanan, as long as they're not Doraisa, so that makes sense. The Chen Tkiyas Shofar also mid Rabbanan. Kedimuch and Perak Kisri Adam, Kamer Tkiyas Shofar Begvul and Tochiach, Sveka Doch Yontif, Ein Vadon Doch Yontif, Doch Shabbos, Shil Hachilo Yi Osterin, Ilav Mishum Darabba, Mishum Nar Shem Yavibet. So basically, Tosa says it's Rabbanan. Now remember that Rashi said it was a Shvutz. Rashi and Shabbos, Tav Daud Amad Aleph, that we read before, I give it over the days, I'm sorry, said it's a Shvutz. Right? Okay. Now look at either in your page if you want, or I have it here in the on the sheet. Rabbeinu Chananel in Shabbos Daud Amad Beis, who says something astonishing. Koshilon. Everybody have it? You can even look on the page or the sheet. It's probably easier on the sheet. Above. On top of where we were.
Page 2.
Yeah, the third entry. Koshilon, Rabbeinu Chananel Shabbos Daled Amud Beis. Koshilon, Nechti, Ridia, Sapas, Chochma, Ve'ina Malacha. Everybody with me? Meaning, why is the Gemara here wondering whether or not you can do Ridia Sapas to save yourself from a Malacha Daraisa? What's the question? It's a Chochma, Ve'ina Malacha. Of course you can save yourself from a Chiyuv, Skila, Kares. What's the issue? Alright, fine. The first answer of Rabbeinu Chananel is easy, like the other Rishonim. No, since it's Asur, it's true, it's Chachma Vein Malacha Daraisa. And the Rabbanan it's Asur, and the question is, what kind of a Himidu Rabbanan Devrayim B'makom Isur Daraisa, or not? Right? Did they, you know, in order to establish this Rabbanan, which is on the long term an important deterrent, etc., even if you're going to violate the Daraisa, as we found many other times at the Chachamim, sometimes, usually not, usually you don't violate a Rabbanan, you don't violate a Daraisa in order to avoid a Rabbanan. Here and there we find that there is such a thing. But then he says, so that's not so controversial, that's fine. The Yeshomrim, here comes an astonishing thing. If the pas has already been baked, just like the Tosas quoted him in Rosh Hashanah, right? Ah, but let's see the continuation. While it's still in a doughy state, before it becomes crisp, you know, and solid. Malachahi. Now the way Tosas quoted Rabbeinu Chananel, it was Ke'en Lisha Drabanan he. One was Mutter, the other one was Drabanan. Ke'en Lash. Where our Rabbeinu Chananel reads, is it's a Malacha. Halotire, he says, Hapasu Afuya Efshar Lerdosa Besaka de Kiyotzeba. Avahaisa, he Efshar Lerdosa Elabayadayim. Meaning, you can't even use an instrument. It's so gooey and doughy and whatever the proper baking words are here, or lisha words are here, right? It's lisha and aricha. Those are malacha daraisas. Umetakein hu veina mekalkel. Lest you should think that he doesn't mean all this, right? This is a metakein. It's going to fall apart a little bit, but you're doing it in order to preserve it. That's why this Gemara in Shabbos does not mention Chachma v'lo Malacha and doesn't mention Shofar alongside of it. Hadatad de Beis Shmuel. Klal. Doesn't say it at all. L'lamed. Kionid omazel. L'zeh. Klal. Like Tosas in Rosh Hashanah's report, Rabbeinu Chananel says there are two types of lishas. Unlike Tosas in Rosh Hashanah's report, here Rabbeinu Chananel says, sorry, two types of Ridia Zapas. One is like Lisha. Here he says it is Lisha. Why is this shocking? The Gemara wants to know whether or not you can do Lisha in order to save you from doing Afiyah.
Let it save to the end. Take it off.
Leave the afia v'shev al taisa. You can do a lisha v'kumba saying. What kind of havamin is that? What'd you say? Ah. So is it possible that the Rabbeinu Hananel is raising the following question? You did a malacha, right? Which you're fully responsible for. Help you did. And the question is, can you save yourself from that malacha by doing a malacha whose intention is to save you from doing a malacha? In other words, in the aggregate, you're going to do a malacha here. Either Lisha or Afia. But the Afia, you know, was just a voluntary act. The Lisha is a way of safeguarding you from some other act. Psikresha. Right? I mean, it's not even psikresha. It's a malacha. So what you have here is a fascinating thing. You're doing this malacha to save yourself from another malacha. Is that a malacha's makshava? Is that or is that a kind of malacha b'toras tafel or agav? The reason I mentioned psikresha l'micha, it is a very interesting. It's called the shita l'ran on Shabbos, but it's a lot of people attribute it either to the Ra'ah, I'm not so sure, the base medrash of the Ra'ah, the influence of the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah was a very creative thinker, so. You know, there are all sorts of psikresha cases. You know, I'm not sure how much we'll have a chance to do them because we're really focusing on the first parak of Shabbos. But psikresha d'nicha, psikresha d'lo nicha. The Ra'ah has this idea that whenever, even in a psikresha, normally we say modrab shimon, right? The psikresha d'lo yamos. Even Rav Shimon says that the malachshem tzichel gufa is mutter and Rav Shimon v'skavin is mutter. But if you have psikresha, you cut off the chicken's head, it wouldn't die. Meaning, you do an action, but and as a result, the malacha gets done. Everybody agrees that's psikresha. Says the Ra'ah, yes, unless it's a malachas agav and a malachas tfeva. You're really trying to do A, every time you do A, B will happen. The question is B considered to be and if it is, and even if it's a psikresha, that's a chiddush of the Ra'ah. Maybe the Rambam holds that way also. That kind of psikresha, a psikresha which elevates or which extends your makshava on A to B, because A equals B. Every time you do A, B happens. You want to do A. So by extension, you want to do B, because you know what's going to happen, and you have makshava, and there's a transitive law of mathematics here. Is it the transitive law?
Yes.
Okay. My mother would be appalled if I mortified if I got that wrong. But anyways, But let's say with all of the equal signs, at the end of the day, it was a malachas agav v'tafel. You're really doing A and B is just happening. It has to happen, but there's no kashi. It's not, you know, A and B even. It's B, you know, tafel v'agav A. So the Ra'ah says that's not psikresha, or that's the equivalent of psikresha to lo nichalei, even if it's nichalei, meaning it has the same effect. So what the Rabbeinu Hananel isn't exactly that, but the Rabbeinu Hananel is a remarkable, if it's true, remarkable idea. You are doing a malacha, but you're doing a malacha betoras hatzalas malacha. The first malacha you did. You're responsible for that. The second malacha you didn't do to do the malacha. You did it to save another malacha.
Is that what he means by kamod?
Is that what he means by
kamod?
Mm-hmm. Oh, does he even say kamod? Oh, kamod lash v'yorech. Yeah, maybe. Because of kamod, because he's not, and that's umetakenu veinu mekalkel. I mean, it is a malacha. That's why we need. That's why we're not sure. That's because there isn't a bind. On the one hand, he's saying like this. If it's not a malacha, what? This drabanan is even a drabanan, you know, but you're going to do a malacha daraisa for that. If it's a question, should you do a malacha to save yourself from the malacha? On the one hand, you know, the first malacha you didn't intend to do is happening b'shev al tasa. You're going to intentionally do another malacha to, that doesn't make any sense. On the other hand, The second one that you intentionally do to solely for the purpose of saving the first malacha, it's a kind of a malacha sagav. It's a remarkable thing. We don't paskin like this, but it's a remarkable Rabbeinu Chananah. Just to highlight it a little bit further, look at the Baal HaMor. No, sorry. First look at the Rif for a minute. It's on the next page, right? The Rif says, Hom nilsa makshim v'rabanan mechti. Rudiya sapas chokm aveinu malacha. Tivyar sinim perik kol kisvi ha-kodesh. Tana de beish shmuel. Kol malach zavaru l'sasu yotzu rudiya sapas tkiya shofar shen chokm aveinu malacha. Fine. So he says, all the Rabbanan ask, what's going on here? It's a chokma, so what's the big deal? So you'll save yourself from the daraisa. Even in the end of the day, let's say we allow you to do it, only because you're going to be in violation of skila. It's nothing. They gave answers, said there are riffs that I don't like. I'm not writing them. You'll see in a minute the Ramban also is very, I'm not writing what I don't like here. This is what I think the answer is, he says. The high kusha afa gav the radias of paspitan or chachma vena malacha, even though it's a chachma vena malacha, lo shor rabbanon, the rabbanon didn't permit it. Elahecha de shachach paspitan or vikida shalavayo. The matzo mi mena mazak gimel sudas le shabbos, mishm kvod shabbos. It's an isad rabbanon. You need some sort of counter pressure in the Gemara. Kufidzai, and the counter pressure is kvod shabbos. Tafilo hachi bay le shnuye. Kidakatani le kaman. Right, but the yard, the year, the mirror, the lebesakin of a radia shalom, the sudas Shabbos, lo shayur abanan afiyu de shinui. Even with a shinui, we're not going to allow it if there's no good reason. Ah, so what about our Gemara and Shabbos, Dalid? Hacha lav the sudas Shabbosi. Now this is a very remarkable riff too, because what? It's not for the sake of sudas Shabbos. It's for the sake of what? Nothing. Preventing him from violating Yisur Malacha. What's more important? Suda Shabbos or preventing a Chilul Shabbos? Clearly preventing Chilul Shabbos is a much bigger issue. What's going on? So I think, and we'll try to see this today, maybe we'll need a couple minutes next week. What's really going on here is it's a kind of a drabanan that depends on the bigger picture, the aggregate picture. In other words, doing it gratuitously, apparently, according to the Rif, for no reason, that makes it a shvuas or a drabanan. If you have a kiyum, if you're doing it as a kiyum Shabbos, then it's not. It has a little bit of a flexibility. If this is a kiyum, it's not an iser. But in the case, so what about Radia Sapas to save it from the Malacha? That has a good, strong motivation, right? But it doesn't mean that it isn't Radia Sapas, the iser drabanan or the shvuas. If it's a kiyum, even though it's a lesser kiyum, then that transforms it or channels it into a different hagdara. It's all about the force and the pressure, the counter pressure. It's about how you define this action. So the Baal HaMor, just one more second, says, "Avamacha kosav arif." We'll just get through the Baal HaMor and then we'll stop. The machshir rabbanu b'amil sanechti rediyas apas kachma v'enu malacha my taima lo shir rabbanu halam malacha he. This quoting the Rif, so the Baal HaMor says, "Ein mekusha zos lo tam v'lo reyach," right? No taste, no smell, meaning no tam. She'ilo ha'isa malacha. If it's a real malacha, what do you mean? He's asking. I don't understand the sugya. It's only a chachma. It's not a malacha. And if it was a malacha, you'd understand the Gemara. Heicha yidokha malacha mepnei malacha. It would be worse if it was a malacha, because what we're saying, do lisha in order to stop a fia. So one more line. Just the Ramban says, Amar Kosev, Peshbotam Ki'ikar, just a good halachic, you know, humor involved. We'll finish up the Ramban and the Ran next time, but you can see that there's an interesting range of what Radia Sapas is, and also how either Daraisa versus Daraisa or Drabanans, how Drabanans are defined sometimes by the options, the sliding scale options.